This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Disney's Snow White 2025. We just spent about 3 minutes trying to begin this episode.
Yeah, technical issues. Hopefully one day we'll get face to face. Anyway, here we are, Snow White, almost a century later.
Yeah.
We got a remake from a beloved movie that came out in early, like, 1937.
88 years? Is my maths right on that? I think it is. Quite impressive. So in the past we did Mulan,
yes.
God help us, we did Pinocchio, dire stuff, we did Little Mermaid, which I think we both quite liked.
We didn't talk about Lion King, did we?
No, we didn't do Lion King. We didn't do Mufasa. Good. We didn't do Lady Good. And the Tramp. I always pick ones that interest me, you know. Mulan, obviously there was so much surrounding that film. Pinocchio was interesting because we also got Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, and this one is interesting because it's almost 100 years. In my mind, this so far is the one that makes the most sense to remake. Unlike Pinocchio, Snow White isn't a story that we've seen a lot of in popular fiction. You really just have the Disney version and a couple of, like, there's like two that came out in 2012. I guess 2012 is a big year for Snow White. But I truly believe that this is a Disney remake that I can look at and say, yeah, actually, I understand why you want to make this. It has been nearly a century. Unlike Moana, which will be 11 years old by the time we get the live action Moana. So immediately going into this film, I think to myself, yeah, I can get behind this remake. At least conceptually. In terms of the business, I know why they're doing it and I don't agree with that, but conceptually I can understand why we remake this film specifically.
Yeah, specifically for Snow White, as you said, it's not popular in fiction. And as we talked about the issues about Snow White, about gender or dwarfism or the story, like, well, we talked about like the morbid, your idea, Tom,
yeah.
What happened with that.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. You can check out that video if you're curious.
Yeah, so it's just so fascinating to think about, and there are massive changes in a very good way to the story, which I think it's just improved. And here comes the thing with remakes about, are you improving them or is there something else that you want to go with a different direction? But here in this case, what they've done to improve is to expand the characterization for Snow White, because Snow White is very one-dimensional in the story that we've seen in the original movie, and the story is like one and done, that's it. But here it's more expansive, it's more understanding about her goals, making her a genuine, lovable character. And there are other characters that we come across, you know, in the story that we really like. It's just so nice to see that original film translated. I mean, there was a lot of CGI, but I didn't really mind that. And then there were some other weird CGI things that happened in this movie, but we'll get into that. Yeah, it just felt like an alright film that was a good time just to understand what needed to improve on from the original, like without ruining it for many ways. It just made sense for today, like what could a fairy tale look like for this.
Yeah, back when we started this trend, the first one they did that was properly, it wasn't a new spin on it, it wasn't anything different, it was like we're literally taking the animation and we're plopping it into live action, that was Beauty and the Beast. They did the songs, they did all the aesthetics, the costumes. That was to me the most one-to-one remake. And at the time they were like, yes, we must remake it because there are inconsistencies in the original, like how does the Beast, a child when he transforms, and then an adult when he, little things that like plot holes that they were fixing, you know, like, oh, what happened to Belle's mum? Stuff that isn't really important. Stuff that you don't go out of Beauty and the Beast and being like, who was the mum? Like, you know, it doesn't matter.
I need to go to the Wikipedia and see if there's any inconsistencies.
I need to go to ancestry.com. But for this film, very clearly, as we discussed last week, there's so much to expand upon. Potentially the biggest thing that this film does is give the prince character, he's not a prince in this film, he's a bandit named Jonathan, and they give him like an actual stake. They give him an actual, not the food, like they give him a stake in the plot. They give him...
Imagine, like, in the movie, like, okay, here's the steak, guys. And then just, there's the steak.
Yeah, so, like, he has more character. He has more development. He has an actual personality. He's in it for more than just two scenes. He doesn't swoop in to save Snow White. It's so much more interesting. The romance that blossoms between these two, I was fully on board with it. The other big change in this film is music. Last week, you asked, is this film a musical? Is the original film a musical? It's not really. There's a couple of songs, but it's not really a musical. But this film, it goes for it. It has a whole bunch of new songs. They are pretty good. They're not the greatest songs ever. They're not the worst. I mean, coming from a guy who quite enjoys the songs from Wish, maybe I know nothing. But I didn't mind the songs in Snow White. And there's a song where you have the kind of meet cute song, the lover's song, where they have like a duet between Snow White and Jonathan, where they're like, I don't like you. And it's like, I don't like you. And they have a little back and forth. It's very much A Lovely Night from La La Land. And then they have another song later on where they're like, hey, actually, maybe I do like you. I thought those things were really sweet. I thought it worked really well. I believed in their relationship to the point where I would believe that, yeah, maybe there is an element of true love here. Kind of felt like Shrek in that you feel a little bit more anchored to the idea of true love than you do in a lot of the classic stories.
It's literally like that from the original when the prince just kisses Snow White and it's like, whoa, okay, this guy just met Snow White in the castle, just snuck in like into the castle out of nowhere. It's like, hey, here you are. Like, ah, there's this prince that comes out of nowhere. What the... We didn't even talk about that. But for this one, it makes so much sense to have more of a, like a grounded character who's doing something to fight against the evil queen and Phantom Snow White. And then there's the attraction, the pull together, which is so wholesome. And then you get understanding the kiss.
I think the good thing is that the kiss isn't the climax of the film. It isn't everything is solved by the kiss. The kiss happens and we still have a good 20 minutes to resolve the plot where Snow White can do it herself rather than...
Oh, yeah, true.
You know, her wake up and be like, where's the queen? Oh, she's dead? Okay, sweet. We did it.
I was worried about that because it was like, in the original, the witch is dead, and that's it.
Yeah, like, exactly. Snow White is such a victim in the original. That's a really interesting thing to behold. But that's something you see now and was definitely not Disney's original intent. So you come back to it now and I think, yeah, I think it is good that now Snow White has more agency and has more to do and more to say. And she is more of a character, more of an idol for little kids. And Rachel Zegler is amazing. She is phenomenal. She is perfect in this role. You can just believe her as the sweetest and fairest of all. Her voice when she sings is staggeringly gorgeous. And her whole demeanor, you know, she spends quite a bit of this film acting alongside nothing with all the dwarves. The film doesn't name them. Again, I'm just going to use the dwarves as a, you know, I have no better term. She's acting alongside nothing. They're all CGI. Yeah. And she makes it work. Like, she's really, really great in this role. Her hair is atrocious. Bad hair and makeup department. What have you done?
No,
naughty.
No.
That does hold it back a little bit, like visually.
Yeah, I wish there was something to improve on that hair. It just kind of threw me out. Yeah, she was just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful in this movie. She really put her heart into this role as Snow White in the craft. Like, how do we make it improved upon understanding Snow White as a character? She needs to be like an active character rather than just passive and let things happen around her in the story. And she gets to sing a lot more in this movie as well. So yeah, I think it was a great casting choice for Rachel Zegler to be in this film. However, there's someone else in the cast, and this was jarring. This was so absolutely jarring. Gal Gadot. I don't have any beef with Gal, but this was not it. This was not it. To be the evil queen? What's the character's name?
The evil queen.
That's it? Okay, well, the evil queen.
Probably like Linda or something.
Yeah, or Barbara. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
Karen.
So this was like seeing night and day. Rachel Zegler, amazing performance. And then there's Gal Gadot, who it just felt like there was not enough commitment to it.
I like Gal Gadot in things. I like her as Wonder Woman in Batman v Superman and Justice League and the first Wonder Woman. But other than that, you know, I don't think she's great as an actor. And I think you're right. She's not dreadful. I think a lot of people think she's dreadful. I didn't hate her. She just wasn't very good. There's a whole villain song. And just, why are we doing this? Why? She's really, she's very not, maybe I take it back. Maybe she is quite bad. Because, like, you need a villain, especially a Disney villain, to be camp and properly chewing on every line, make it all so ridiculous. And I feel the original Evil Queen in the animation is very much that. She's the template for the Disney villain. And then just in this one, she's just a little bit clunky and doesn't seem to be enjoying the role and doesn't seem to have
and
any
doesn't
kind of
really
wits
embrace
to
it.
Her.
Yeah,
really
right. Embrace it as well. It just feels like it was someone else that was trying to be the witch. There was nothing to reflect the original, because the original, she was absolutely terrifying. The voice acting, the animation, it just feels like there was this impending doom that was coming towards you from the screen that had something within it.
She doesn't have any presence, and I think you need that. The costume also feels quite restricting, like her head is squeezed into this full bodysuit thing. She does the dancing and she's barely able to move. She's like Batman in Batman Begins, just throwing elbows. It doesn't really complement anything. And I know that they want to keep this accurate to the look of the original, but I think it also tracks for Snow White's iconic dress as well. Just doesn't look great. I really enjoyed the script of this film. I think it's a nice update of the original. It's nothing groundbreaking, but I enjoyed it. But where this film falls is its technical stuff. We get this opening where we find out the lore, the long ago in the kingdom, and we found out about all this stuff around it. Snow White's backstory, Evil Queen, yada, yada, yada. We get to the point where, as in the original, the huntsman doesn't kill her, she runs off, and we are introduced to the dwarves. And it was like somebody halted the movie and put on the Polar Express, because my gods, what in the Robert Zemeckis CGI nightmare were these creatures? Oh my god. And they sing this elongated full-on version of I Ho, where they're singing about doing their work. They look monstrous. It's funny, don't get me wrong, I had a great time, but it is terrifying to witness. Oh my god,
it is absolutely terrifying. Like, I saw your reaction in the cinema as we turned to each other, like, what is this? Are we stuck in Robert Zemeckis film again or something? Yeah, I had a good time as well with the dwarves in this movie. Like, it was interesting. I was like, is this real? Like, what is what is going on?
It is real. I'm sorry, it's all real.
I'm intrigued by, like, how they done that for Rachel to know where the dwarves were in this, and their choice to be CGI. I get, but it was like seeing something else that I'd never seen before. Like, what would you do with the dwarves? But, however, I really liked what they've done for Dopey.
That was sweet, yeah.
That was really sweet, because Dopey in the original doesn't really have enough time to shine. He's very goofy, very clumsy, but in this one, there was more like a really nice character arc, I have to say. More like a positive light on that. It just takes time to see them in CGI form. It was like, whoa, okay.
If you can get over the fact that they are terrifying to behold, and I don't think I did ever truly get over it, there is stuff there. Last week we wondered if Doc is a doctor, and we got the answer. I can't believe it. He's actually a geologist. He studies rocks. Incredible, incredible. I didn't think that such a thing would happen. I enjoyed them well enough. And also, they're not nearly as big a part of the narrative. And in the original, Whistle While You Work is Snow White being like, this house is dirty. I will fix it and they will love me. Whereas in this one, she's like, hey, everyone, get your act together. Stop arguing and we can work this out. It's like High School Musical 2. We can work this out. We're going to sing while we do it. I like it. I like that that's the difference. She doesn't come into their home and is like, help me, please. I will cook and clean for you. She's like, I need a place to sleep. Let's be mates. And then after that first night, she's off. We have a whole other section of the narrative, but I enjoyed that they do something different. It's not just the same. It's not just cookie cutter. It surprised me. It was a bit unexpected, and that's just cool stuff. Yeah. I enjoy those levels of the film. The overwhelming thing is, every time I catch myself enjoying the film, every time I catch myself enjoying a musical sequence, or getting chills at a certain element, something happens, be it a CGI animal or one of the dwarves, something, and I just go, man, this film looks awful. This film would have been so much better if it was animated. A different style of animation, something more expressive than the original. It would have been so great. I think about the aforementioned Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. It's animated and it looks gorgeous. It isn't just adapting the story conceptually, but it is also visually. It's doing something different. I love stuff like that. I would have been so happy if this film was animated, because my score for this film, we'll find it out later, is higher than I ever thought it would be. But I do think that if it was animated, I would like this film a lot more.
I do have to agree with Guillermo del Toro's sentiment about animation. It looks gorgeous, of course. So should we get into spoilers, or is there more things
you want to talk about? Yeah, let's get into spoilers.
Yes. Story changed a lot in a really good way for Snow White, in terms of, like, she does become more active, because we don't know the whole lore in the original about where she's from or what happened to the king or the queen or the place around the castle. So it's great to see that at the end, that she gets everybody in the town to go up against the queen. This is a really sweet moment when Snow White gets taken away by the guards. She actually remembers each of the guards and actually tells them their names and then the reason why they're doing this. And that was really sweet, because it's like the whole idea of the movie, like, what would you choose, the rose or the diamond? One looks beautiful but delicate, and then there's one that's tough but shiny. It's so interesting for Snow White, because she has so much love and energy to go around from the king and from the queen as well. And you do get to see that in opening, which I think is a good way to understand about her more as a character. Yeah, I just really love that moment. That was a great moment to get everybody and not have, like, she gets to kill the queen, that will save the day. The queen is killed by her own hubris. Like, she wants to be the most powerful. And I think that's the better way to tell the story about villains, about, like, how they succumb to their own hate or their own power.
Yeah, like the ending of the original, the evil queen is killed by messing with powers she doesn't quite understand. In the original, she stays as the old hag and she can't lift the boulder. She falls, she's crushed. But in this one, by smashing the magic mirror out of her anger, which, don't do. If you have a magic mirror, call me crazy here, don't smash it. You know, don't touch it.
That's rule 101 in the magic tricks, guys.
Yeah,
don't ever smash, like, don't ever
god
smash
damn it mirror. And I love the whole effect where she gets crystallized or something, and then, like, gets sucked in. Chris Pine's in there. Anyone who's seen Wish will know that canonically Chris Pine is the magic mirror. I'll just let you sit with that for a moment, John. But what I really liked about the whole ending is that Snow White doesn't come out with, like, a sword and then just start throwing hands. It's not violent. Snow White's whole thing is nurturing. Like you said, the rose and the diamond, she wants to nurture good things and growth. And she talks to people. She's like, oh, you were a farmer. You were a baker. Paul, John, George, Ringo, all the people. Beatles are there, and
they appear at the end of the movie, and they just play what song would they play at the end?
Sergeant Pepper. Have you seen, like, Robert Zemeckis Beatles movie he was gonna make?
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was going to be, like, in the style of the Polar Express. It's just like the Yellow Submarine, the original film. And it ends with them all being like, there's only one way to go out. Oh, what's that? Singing! And it's genuinely, I actually have the video saved. I'm going to send it to you. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. But no.
That sounds like something for the end of the movie. Everybody dances at the end of the movie.
That's right. Like, no, genuinely, that's how the movie ends. It's straight out of the original as well. I found the Beatles video. I'm sending it to you.
Okay, show it to me now.
There you go. You watch that. There it is. There it is. That's only a hint. The video goes on.
Oh my god.
I know.
That's mad. Continue.
But yeah, so there's a lot of stuff here in the characterization of Snow White that I think was really good. I like the whole film is about nurture, and not just physically, like, you know, if you tend to the land, you get nice, good things, you know, you make an apple pie. But genuinely, if you're kind and nice, you know, that's how Snow White was raised. That's how she believes to be. And so that when she teaches that to the dwarves, that's very much her philosophy coming out. The same thing to Jonathan and his band of merry men. That's right. It's very much like Robin Hood, which I also liked. And she makes everyone's life better. She has her own flaws, particularly she thinks that her father will come and save her, which leads her to eating the apple, etc. and so forth. But that's something that she overcomes, and she steps forward on her own after kind of being scared to do so. I really liked all that stuff. I don't know how much you've seen from the promotion for this film, but there are so many beautiful scenes of little girls coming up to Rachel Zegler and being like, you're my hero,
it's
dude.
It's very wholesome. It's very
wholesome.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Like, you know, that's what this is about. It's about the kids. It's about something deeper than what the adults think about the nostalgia that they can cry about. It's about more than what reviewers like us can say. It's about the kids. I said last week that I hope that this film has a better impact, a better role model for kids. I don't know if this film will flop or will be a hit, but either way, the fact that it exists, it's nice. And for us men, we had the king himself, The Crossbow King. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He was so cool. He's like the second in command, like first mate to the bandits. And he's this guy who just keeps on being like, I am the crossbow lord. And he never has a crossbow. And at the end, he has a crossbow and he shoots the knife out of the evil queen's hand. It was cinema.
It was absolute cinema. Great.
He was for us. That was for us.
That's when we teared up, guys. That's when we teared up for that.
It's true. Oh my God. So yeah, what are you going to give Snow White, Disney's Snow White, out of 10?
I'm going to give it 6 out of 10.
Yeah, me too.
It was a nice film. It was a nice film. I'm hoping this will have a positive impact.
Yeah, me too, for sure. And I'm hoping that nobody will... I shouldn't really say this because no one would notice it otherwise, but I did also give 6 out of 10 to Wicked. That's right. I thought this film was about as good as Wicked. Yeah.
Damn.
I'm bringing back my Wicked controversies.
Interesting. How dare you?
How could you do this? You can go back and listen to our Wicked video if you'd like. I also want to say, though, on the thing of Snow White, the budget is $209 million. It's a bit much. You know, next week we're going to talk a lot about budgets. And this film didn't need to have that higher budget. I know that there's so much CGI, but really they could have toned it down a lot and, you know, focus on a bit more practicality. Again, my biggest issue with this film is visually how it looks. That can drag a film down, much like Wicked. It doesn't justify its budget.
Budget is just a problem at this point.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, I wish I had better news for you, because it is indeed The Electric State.
Those who have watched it, I'm sorry. Those who haven't watched it, please listen to us. We have amazing... You don't even have to go over there because it's absolutely atrocious. But from our own words.
Wow. Yay. And you can send us an email at outoftimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll answer it next week on the pod.
Mm. Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram @outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from Stain Asphalt on Blue Sky, TikTok to see edited clips which are all awesome on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Smith for the excellent theme and Ron Phillips vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.